Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
And now to flesh out the results in the governor's race, as well as the congressional contest, we turn to our political analyst, Democrat Dan Payne. Good to see you.
Nice to be with you, Bob.
Republican Todd Domke, thank you.
Good to be with you, Bob.
So let me ask this question. After the Scott Brown win in January, it was thought for quite a long time that this fall would be a big fall for Republicans, that after the Brown win, Republicans could repeat and capture some seats in Massachusetts. Didn't happen. Why, Dan?
Because to some extent, the air went out of the balloon when Scott Brown won. People in Massachusetts felt like they'd made their case for change. And consequently, the Democratic candidates, particularly for Congress, but also for constitutional offices, took the election very seriously. They assumed they were going to have to fight for every vote, and they did. And that made a difference. I think Massachusetts is still a Democratic state. The default position of most voters, Democrats and independents, is vote Democratic.
Todd Domke.
Well, I think Republicans, in some cases, took the wrong lessons from Scott Brown's victory. It wasn't just because all of a sudden now we have a Republican wave and any candidate can win. The formula for his winning was that he was more populist and he was a savvy, experienced candidate. He had been elected to office before. So it was harder then when we had some first-time candidates who just spoke to the Republican base, or in the case of Charlie Baker, who seemed like a corporate CEO type, kind of feeding into the stereotype of Republicans.
Well, let's talk about the governor's race, but first, let's hear this soundbite from the winner, Deval Patrick.
I am interested in what's right. I'm interested in bearing our generational responsibility to leave a better Commonwealth than we found.
That's Deval Patrick looking ahead to his second term in office. Dan, what did Deval Patrick do right in this campaign?
Well, Deval Patrick is a better candidate than he is a governor. And he applied himself to going out and rebuilding his base, which had been profoundly unhappy with him and disappointed, particularly in his first couple of years. And by sheer force of will and personality, he traveled the state. And I don't think he did mea culpas, but he did allow as how he had made mistakes. And he was able to rebuild the organization. He invested in this field operation that people figure gave him maybe 2 to 4 points. But more importantly, he used hope and confidence. And also, Deval Patrick used personal stories, anecdotes. He put a human face on government responsibility.
Now, Charlie Baker. Let's hear a soundbite from his concession speech last night.
Hey, he won, fair and square, okay? We fought the good fight, folks. We did. But it's important that all of us get behind the governor and do all that we can to make sure that he succeeds in pulling our economy out of the doldrums and getting us back on the right track.
Todd Domke, at some point, the Baker campaign itself got on the wrong track. What did it not do that it needed to?
Well, Charlie Baker showed in his speech that was very gracious that he personally was better than his candidacy and far better than his campaign. Now, the campaign made a lot of mistakes, you know, with Lascoco, with Jeff Perry. And, of course, he had to deal with the Big Dig memo coming out. You know, there were various blunders and handling issues. But basically, he made the mistake of picking people who put together a corporate-style campaign, very hierarchical. He was not a populist. He didn't really get across to people that he was genuinely a problem solver, that he really wanted to be innovative about state government. And part of it was personality, but part of it was just that the campaign never allowed him to grow as a candidate. They kept him busy raising money and speaking to business groups when, in fact, they should have trusted the people, put him out there with the people, and let him grow, let his sense of humor grow, and come across as a more caring, genuine person.
Let's talk about the congressional races. All Democrats going to Capitol Hill from Massachusetts. The Democrats won all 10 races, but they're headed to Capitol Hill in a very changed atmosphere. Dan, what's that mean for the delegation?
Well, they're going to be now ranking members or second in command in the committees that they serve on. And that's significant because Barney Frank had been the chairman of the banking committee. He's now going to be the ranking member. Ed Markey chaired the Energy and Telecommunications Committee. He's now going to be the ranking member. Jim McGovern was next in line to become chairman of the Rules Committee, very powerful committee. He now drops back. And Richie Neal could have made a run at Ways and Means chairmanship after Charlie Rangel left the post. So they're going to go back, but they're going to go back in slightly diminished roles.
Todd, how are Republicans going to look at this? They thought they had a pretty good shot at picking up a seat or two or more in the Massachusetts delegation. Didn't happen. What are they thinking?
Well, I think they're going to realize that they made a huge mistake in following Mitt Romney's lead in putting all their eggs in one congressional basket, namely the 10th Congressional District, putting their support behind a scandal-plagued candidate, Jeff Perry. There were other districts that would have been more winnable. True, in some cases we needed stronger candidates, but John Tierney, Jim McGovern, Barney Frank, Nikki Tsongas all got in the 50s%. In many cases, the challengers hardly had any money to run against them. So it was a costly mistake for the party because this was an opportunity to win one or two congressional seats. Now, next time, it's possible in a presidential election year with stronger candidates and with better distribution of monies that we will be able to pull off a few.
I want to close by returning to the beginning and talking again briefly about Scott Brown. Massachusetts Democrats undoubtedly are looking at these results saying, okay, how do we unseat Scott Brown now? And does that task seem easier today than it might have on Monday, Dan?
Yes. It's clear now that Scott Brown was not the front edge of a trend. It was a fluke election. And it actually served to awaken Democrats across the state to the fact that they were going to have to fight hard to win.
And Todd Domke.
Well, I think Scott Brown was hurt by this campaign. But part of what got him elected, part of his appeal, was being seen as independent. He stressed that himself when he ran. And, of course, in this time he campaigned a lot as a party loyalist. He had the reputation, of course, for absolute integrity. So being associated with Jeff Perry, putting so much of his credibility behind Jeff Perry, it will make him seem more vulnerable to Democrats. Republicans will rally around him, and there's plenty of time, but he definitely comes out of this a little weaker than before.
Republican Todd Domke, Democrat Dan Payne, thank you very much for all your work over these many months guiding us through this long campaign. We very much appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
I enjoyed it, too. Thank you.